Yeah. Pump it up. Hold on, Carl, don't get off. We got, while you're on the line, we got to get you to talk about your Independence Day project. So don't get off the line. We need you to talk about that. Pat.
What's happening, Pimp?
Raise the roof.
The roof is raised.
Are you sure?
I'm looking at it. It looked like it's going up.
Man, there it is.
Plus, I might just have gas.
Hey, man. Hey, man. You human. I don't know about you, man. I ain't trying to gloat or nothing like this, but I think, you know, for the past couple, well, I ain't gonna say couple, but we've been on fire lately, though, man.
Oh, yeah, you know, the shows has been good, I'm not one to toot my own horn, so, toot, that wasn't me, but,
it was Illuminati.
You know, the shows have been on point, though. Definitely can't. We've been having quality guests. You got the professor showing up, talking about the Independence Day project, something that definitely needs to become reality.
Right.
So, you know, we're at the point now where we're doing big things, and it's time for the community as a whole to step up and start doing big things with us. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So while we at it, Professor, you can hear us.
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
There you go. There you go. While we here on this freedom train, can you tell the people about yourself and the Independence Day project that you have coming up?
First of all, thank you, brothers, for giving me this moment to share about the project. I greatly appreciate it, as well as your financial contributions to the project, that is not to be overlooked. Your brothers have always been strong supporters of things in the project that I've been putting together, that I have put together in the past, and I definitely appreciate you, especially you two brothers, because support is necessary in this job that we try to do in terms of uplifting our people and building towards Black empowerment. So, not so much about me, but this project itself is a game changer in terms of how we see each other, how we see ourselves, our destinies. And in regards to what it would look like, painting a picture, what it would look like when we no longer have to deal with, you know, the colonization of white supremacy. And the focal point of this is a movie project. This is a movie project. But in addition to it being a movie project, I want to be clear, this project is to change the landscape in terms of our conversation, in terms of the community building that we're working towards. So much of our current situation, current ideals, and current philosophy are based in working, and dealing with the struggle of just being Black in America or being African in a world that robs, rapes, and pillages our continent for all of its minerals, all of its resources, all of its precious metals, and all of its labor. So a lot of times when you see a video project or you see a DVD or you see movies, documentaries, they're dealing with correcting the wrongs of history, correcting the wrongs of the different the characterizations of who we are in textbooks and so forth. And that's a beautiful thing. We're standing on the shoulders of those documentaries when we produce Independence Day. And the Independence Day project is about presenting a clear picture of what it looks like when we no longer have to deal with white supremacy, what our community would be like once it's self-sustained, what our community would resemble once we are controllers of our own future, where we control the social, political, economic environments that we live in, where we hold other communities accountable for what they do in terms of their dealings with us. It's a progressive sort of vision. It's a shared vision that we we have been able to acquire in regards to the collective panel that's going to be a part of this discussion. I mean, you two brothers, Patrick and Joe, you guys are on the panel. Sister Talia, who does a lot of videos on social media, specifically on Facebook, she's a part of the panel. Sister Carol Poole, who's been a guest on the Freedom Train before, a.k.a. Kayla Shea, you know, the creator of the Great Griot video web series. And we have some other people who have committed verbally, but I need to make sure that, I'm sorry, I'm driving, so I'm trying to navigate I'm trying to navigate the street while I'm talking, but we have some tremendous people. I got a brother in New York, Ron Bethea, who's just tremendous in regards to his insight to our community. We have a brother by the name of Q Butter that's on the project, and I also have a few other brothers and sisters who I've spoken with, but I haven't gotten a determination as to whether they're going to be on the project or not, but I'm pretty sure that they'll be a part of the project. And, you know, it's all about showing, one, our community as those who are actually doing these things, creating schools, creating institutions, creating avenues for us to have success. Also, for those who need the vision to see past the current struggles. We're so caught up in being reactionary to all the problems that we've dealt with that we don't take time out to be progressive and proactive in regards to creating the situations that we need to be in and be a part of in our community. Well, this documentary style movie is based on changing that conversation. And I could get a little long with it, so I'm going to stop right there.
Cool. So, when do you say you expecting it to be dropping?
Well, that's the thing. Right now, I put together a crowdfund, Indiegogo.com.
Okay.
We were trying to raise some funds so that we can get the necessary equipment as well as get out to these particular people that are all over the country. I mean, we got people in Phoenix, we got people in Chicago, we got people in Los Angeles, San Diego, New York, Carolina, and Tallahassee.
Right.
So we got people all over the country that we need to record an interview, as well as, you know, we want it to be a professional product. We want it to look presentable because, you know, people respect quality, and we want to present the quality. We want the quality to be top-notch in putting this project together. So we have a crowdfund, like I said, on Indiegogo, and if anybody is interested in contributing to the crowdfund, right now it's a little slow, but hopefully it'll pick up some steam over the next few days. It's Indiegogo.com/Project Independence, you know, and it can go in and make a donation. Any donation helps. If it's $5, if it's $10, anything helps in terms of a pledge in regards to building this project, because one of the things that we need in terms of a revolution, if we want to think revolutionary-minded, we have ideas, but we need to be able to fund the engines to drive those ideas. Without the funding, the ideas pretty much just stay on the shelf. I mean, we could talk about it for decades, you know, and I just give the people an example. Just 2 years ago, when we had the Mike Brown situation. Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay. When we had the Mike Brown situation take place in Ferguson, and financially, people who could have made a difference in regard to the reaction of our people and taking advantage of that emotional moment to strike fire in terms of moving our people towards being proactive and addressing the situation of police brutality, police terrorism, and nation building and so forth. had we had that opportunity then, you know, had we had the funds then, the opportunity itself would have presented a different circumstance. But we weren't able to. And that movement got co-opted by outsiders. You had UNICEF. You had George Soros co-op and buy several different movements and so forth. And they were able to co-opt that movement. And it went from a situation where our people could have learned how to build communities and go to nation building to a series of protests and nothing really, no real agenda in terms of bringing the community together. So, you know, this, we need the funding. Without the funding, the movement can't happen. So this is why I went to Indiegogo to put this crowdfunded together. And, you know, like I said, hopefully it picks up steam, because one of the problems you run into is when you look for investors, when they put their money to a project, they often want to have some input into the project. And when they want input into your project, one of the things they do is they try to create a situation where they're taken away from your creative freedom in regards to putting the project together. So we want to make sure that we have the creative freedom. This is why I've come to the people. So put a project out there where it's unapologetically about black people coming up, moving forward, and where we don't have to answer to anybody else's causes or issues.
That's what's up.
Now, Professor, let me ask you, when you say you want to get out from under, or show us what our future would be like when we get out from under white supremacy, I know a lot of people aren't going to understand what you mean by that. In their minds, we're already out from under white supremacy. So could you, like, break that down and explain what you mean for the people that might not understand the gist of what you're saying, or might not be culturally or historically or even currently tuned in to what's going on in society?
Sure. You know, one of the things that we as a community really lack an understanding of is understanding that we are at war. War has been declared upon the black community. And just as you say, a lot of people don't understand it because they believe that they're free because they've been comfortably oppressed. They're comfortable within the levels of oppression we're dealing with. So there's not a lot of understanding in terms of living free of the system where it's not controlled by the engines of white supremacy, where our politics aren't put in place. You have certain political agendas to maintain the status quo, whereas as a community, we're consistently the bottom rung of society, be it socially, be it economically, whenever you want to paint a picture of something dark and wicked, you put a black face on it. You know, when I'm talking about being free of the chains of white supremacy, I'm talking about having institutions that are run by black people. I'm talking about not having to answer to a city council or town council in regarding to building our own town villages. I'm talking about eventually, not today, but eventually, being in control of our own energy sources, resources, and things of that nature. I'm talking about when we built these African schools, you know, that we have, that, and the brother was speaking to earlier, I want for us to have institutions where we can hire or create entrepreneurs for those children who graduate from Africanized schools so that we can then work on our own curriculum. We can focus on curriculums. We can focus on building the culture that's best represented for us. We don't have to always worry about fitting into somebody else's culture. So we don't have to have HBCUs telling black children or black students that they can't wear cornrows or braids. You know, that we don't have, they can wear cornrows and braids in our community because our community and our culture is based on a lot of those things, is naturally and culturally, historically, based on us going back to our natural customs. So when you talk about having a religious freedom, you know, our religions won't be considered taboo because it'll be what we practice culturally within our community. and so forth. We won't have to answer to anybody. When you talk about dealing with the oppressive forces of law enforcement, well, we won't have to deal with the oppressive forces of law enforcement because in our community, we will police ourselves. We will have our own form of court justice and so forth where we take it to a community and have our own tribunals. We won't be dealing with them. When it comes to dealing with creating our own foods, we won't be reliant on local chain supermarkets and so forth to occupy those spaces. We will have our own food co-ops. We will be growing our own food in the community. The children from the schools will work out in agriculture to cultivate the land, to cultivate so that we can have those things up front for ourselves. We won't have to go and we won't have to have access cards, food stamps, or whatever they're called somewhere else, because there will be a need, there won't be a need for that in our community. Our community will be, we won't adopt the European practice of narcissism. We'll be able to alleviate ourselves of those things because intrinsically our values won't be superficially based on, the outward promotion of self-worth through, as we all say, the culture of fronting, where I'm going to, show you how rich I am by wearing it, by buying the most expensive cars and doing this, that, and the other. No, our culture will be rich enough to the point where our children won't have to deal with that maniacal ego and in terms of what makes them valuable. They'll be empowered to be valuable just based on who they are. So when we talk about that, I mean, it's going to go deeper when we get into the actual documentary. It's going to be a lot deeper and just take that level and context. We want to take it to levels that I don't think has been explored yet in regards to what our community will look like when we're free. I mean, honestly speaking, I've been listening to people who spew consciousness for years. I went to the first Million Man March in 1994. I mean, was it 1996? It might have been 95. I went to the first Million Man March back then. And even going to that Million Man March and listening to the things that were spoken there to now, I have never heard anybody between then and now talk about what it looks like when we finally won. What does the African or black utopia look like when we no longer have to face the system of white supremacy, when we have won? All I consistently see are people discussing the struggles and what we have to do to adapt to the struggles. I'm not about the struggle. I'm married to the solutions. It's like if you work all your life, are you married to 40 hours a week? Or are you trying to get to the point where you can retire? And I don't know anybody that would rather work if you had an option to retire and deal with, life at a more leisurely level where you're in control of your day, where you don't have to worry about clocking in. You don't have to worry about how your bills are going to get paid and things of that nature. Well, I'm trying to get to that point as a community. And I want to see, so you build a 401k plan to get to that point in your life. You apply for Social Security to get to that point in life. Well, at least you have an idea about what age you're going to be when you get there, what it's going to look like for you, what steps you have to make to maintain that. You might have access to all that then. Well, why aren't we thinking like that as a community? Why aren't we thinking like after we finish this struggle with white supremacy, what does it look like when we no longer have to deal with the nanny state? So people coming into our houses, the people telling you that in order to get government resources, you can't have men in your house. In order to deal with a certain situation, I can come into your home and take your children. Your children, in order to come into our schools, they have to be inoculated with all sorts of vaccines that weren't available just 10 years ago. Why can't we have a situation where we decide what our children do and when we have a stake in control, and not being told what to do, where we are the leaders of our own community and everybody who deals with us has to answer to us and we stand on the code of black first in every regard.
Power to the people.
Power to the people, brother.
That is. Appreciate that, Professor. Appreciate you dropping that on us, my brother. And y'all make sure y'all support, too.
Yeah.
Y'all make sure y'all support these projects that we got going on and all these people got going on out here in the world. Don't be sitting there complaining about nobody doing it for black folk when you ain't supporting.
And what we need is, and Professor said, go donate whatever you can. I say we need you to donate at least $20. If we get 1,200 people to donate $20, project is funded. On to a store near you, or on the corner near you, or however the professor choose to get it out there. He might only send it to the bootleg man, which means you got to go to 7-Eleven to get it. Whatever.
No. We're looking at putting this in the movie theaters. You know, getting this in the theaters, and you know, it'll be available DVD format or digital format, but we're looking to put this in the movie theaters because we're competing with the propaganda of white supremacy. And the white supremacy propaganda machine often attacks us and addresses us on the big screen. So as much as we're talking about making this available to people, I want people to see this in the same fashion that they would go see a Boys in the Hood, that they would go see a Menace to Society. I want them to see this in the same fashion as if they were to see 12 Years a Slave, The Butler, The Help. I want them to see this in the same fashion to show on that same screen, this is what it's supposed to look like. This is how you're supposed to be represented. This is how we're supposed to be represented. And from this day forward, this should set the standard for how we're represented and how we see ourselves in terms of the media, and nothing else should compare to that. And we should never set our standards low enough to be considered savages, low enough to be considered drug dealers, gangsters, none of those other formats, because that's not who we are. Our image was robbed and taken from us, and we have remade ourselves in the image of our oppressor, and this is why. When you go through the history of our community and so forth, we didn't start off with drive-bys. That was in the 19-teens and the 1920s. You know, gangsters, Al Capone, and you know, the Commission, right, and so forth, where they drove, alongside those Cadillacs and Fords, and they when they were doing drive-bys, when they created boxcars to outrun police and rob banks. Those are the gangsters and thugs, not us. We mimicked their culture, and we became that culture because we saw it on the big screen. But I want to show people on that same big screen that that's not who we are, that's not what we're about, and that's not of us. And this is what our future looks like, and these are the steps. We want to show people through the 9 areas of human activity that Dr. Neely Fuller laid down in all of his studies, the 9 areas of human activities that are controlled by white supremacy. We're going to show how we're going to take control of all those situations to create our new situation, our new reality, our utopia for a community.
I knew, see, and I already knew that. I was just giving you a chance to tell everybody else that didn't know that. So, you know, yeah.
Whoop, but there it is.
If we get 1,000 people to donate $20, and 1,000 people ain't a lot of people, I think everybody in America, just about, with the exception of people over 50, got 1,000 friends on their friends list. So,
yep. Yeah. There it is.
Well, I mean, we're at the point right now, good brothers, where this is what I want for us to move in this direction. Like I said, building with you two brothers, especially, you know, has been a great a joy for me, you know, to see young brothers who are as active and as on point as you two brothers are in regards to what's going on in our community. And I know what you have sacrificed to get there. And I think that we're at the point right now where this is for the people. This project I'm putting together is for the people. I, myself, am not in this to get rich, to make money off the community, or to do things to the community that would put the community in a bad light. I mean, if anybody ever has ever wanted to check my track record, one of the things they could do is come see, you know, look, go to my website, What About Us, www.wauwhatabouts.com. Go to my website and look at the projects that I've worked on, that I've been a part of. You know, from the Summer Book Reading Initiative to the Cabins and Clothes Drives to the Book Bag Drives to just basically locally the commitment to working within the schools here in Philadelphia, making myself available. I've never been on a project for which I did not follow through. And with this being the biggest project of my in my lifetime, I'm definitely going to see it through. So I'm hoping to do it with the will and the aid of the people. You know, if I have to do it and go about it alone, I will. This project will get done because I think it's beneficial for us to look at it because our children need something to look to. We need to build something for our children other than excuses as to why we can't provide a future for them, as to why we can't provide jobs. When our children go away to school, these European institutions may come home and we still can't find them jobs. We still don't have a business. We don't have a friend that's going to put them up or give them a leg up or give them an opportunity to learn a particular business or trade because we don't have the access, we don't have the resources because we didn't build. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be, this project is geared towards the future of our community and our children because contrary to popular belief, there's a war going on outside. No one is safe from, to quote, to quote a famous rap song, you know, that was out about 20 years ago. But there's definitely a war going on outside, and none of us are safe from it. And it can strike at any given moment. I there was a brother who was involved in dealing with the police a few days ago, and I was in the middle of that, and I'm going to talk about that more in 2 weeks on my radio show when I come on the air for WRD here in Philadelphia. But if we're not there for each other, then nobody else will be there for us, and that's the reality of it all. So when I come to the community, I mean, I'm coming to the community because the community is who I represent when I'm out there in the street day in, day out. And if you're out there and I'm out there, then you rest assured you're never alone. And we need to practice that as a community of being there for one another, being there for each other, and paying it forward so that the future has something to rest on. We blame our children for a lot of things in this world, but we have never prepared the world for them, nor have we prepared them for the world. And yet still, we assess blame to them for everything they've done wrong. And I think it's time to turn the trend and buck that trend and keep it moving to the point where now, you know, when our children need us, we'll be the safety net that they need. We'll be the safeguards to protect them. And we'll be the architects that provide structure for their future.
There it is, my brother. Appreciate you calling in, Professor. Appreciate you calling in. And like we said, we want to make sure that we give you the chance to speak about your project, the Independence Day Project, and people make sure y'all go support the brother. And, you know, we'll be talking soon, and we definitely got to schedule you for an interview around the time when it's time for the project to drop. So you already know how we're getting down.
I definitely do. I appreciate you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Hashtag Project Independence.
Yes, sir. Hashtag Project Independence. All right, we'll talk to you later, my brother.
All right, peace.
Alright. Yeah. Freedom Train. Remember the Freedom Train podcast series. Y'all catch us every third and fourth Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You know, I'm Joseph Ward. Always rocking with me is my main man, Mr. Patrick Irvin.
You know what I'm saying?
Put your fist in the air and shout out to Mr. Keith Turner because he always helping us out. Keith know everybody in the world, so. Nope. We're gonna mess around and interview Obama in a minute. And Michelle Obama's brother, that's the basketball coach, in a minute. You know, mess around with you, Keith. So appreciate
Obama
that.
Obama brother, basketball coach.
Yeah, he used to be the one that's either Seton Hall or St. John's, one of them New York schools like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, y'all make sure y'all spread the word. Tell people to call in at 712-775-7031. The access code is 619-364-257. Make sure, if you want to be cool in life, make sure you visit our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. Also, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at _FreedomTrain. And make sure you like our Facebook page if you want to be cool in life, you know. Mm-hmm. Until next time, until next Tuesday, man, we'll see y'all. Two fingers in the air like a player, split them apart. Peace.
Out.
Out. You know, man, you know how we do it. You know how we do it.